This episode of Pro-Life Today was recorded immediately before the death of Mother Angelica. Commentary during this program is made about Mother and her accomplishments as if she were alive. May Mother Angelica rest in peace and perpetual light shine upon her.
What we do in life echoes in eternity.
You will once again be fighting for our freedom, not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live.
From the WSFI studio in Libertyville, Illinois, this is Pro-Life Today with your host, Joe Scheidler.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pro-Life Today on WSFI. That's 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. I'm your host, Joe Scheidler. Today, my guest is Father Joseph Mary Wolfe, who is a Franciscan missionary of the Eternal Word, EWTN, famous all over the world. And today I have other guests who are actually going to be members of the panel. We're going to be talking to Father, and I'd like for people just introduce themselves. Tom?
Tom O'Connor, WSFI.
Joan McHugh, WSFI.
Dan Miller with Pro-Life Wisconsin.
Angela Tomlinson, WSFI, Catholic Radio.
Robert Cadera, WSFI Catholic Radio.
So good. That's our group you're going to be hearing from the next half hour. And I want to ask Father Joseph Mary to give us some background on his order. We know that this all stems from Mother Angelica, mm-hmm. who has the program, the station in Irondale. Yeah. So Father, tell us something about your order.
Sure. We were founded in 1987 by Mother Angelica. I actually went to work for Mother in 1985 as an engineer. I have an engineering background, studied here in Chicago at DeVry Institute of Technology, and worked 5 years for General Electric Medical Systems, installing CAT scanners and X-ray equipment. And then one day I saw something I'd never seen before. I got transferred to Dubuque, Iowa. I saw this nun on television, Mother Angelica, and I really wanted to grow in my spiritual life, and here was something that was feeding my soul. And at that time, I was only on the air 4 hours a day, and sometimes I'd watch all 4 hours. And they were having lots of technical problems, and Mother said, as you can tell, we need an engineer. So if you're an engineer, you want to come down and help us, come down and help us. And so I ended up down there, worked 2 years as an engineer. And then in the early days, Mother Angelica's sisters were involved in everything from accounting to answering live show telephone calls and so on. But Mother understood that their vocation was primarily of prayer. And so she founded our community in 1987 to be the spiritual support for the television network, to be involved in the behind-the-scenes things as well as also now preaching the gospel on EWTN.
And Father, tell us something about Mother Angelica, because Mother is up there. She'll be 93,
yes.
I understand, in April. And she's worked hard to start the station from nothing.
Right.
And I was down there years ago when it was just one building. It was kind of a big warehouse. Mm-hmm. And she had her lights up there and everything. And we did a program. And I remember we had dinner together. And it was just a wonderful event. But you didn't hear a whole lot. And you, like you said, they're only 4 hours. Now they're all over the world. And she's
right.
just grown tremendously, and her order has expanded, and they have a new beautiful monastery. And just give us some background on Mother Angelica. I'm sure the people are very interested in hearing more about her.
I get to see her. I'm privileged to see her once or twice a month, generally. The friars have a mass in her room on Sundays because she's been bedridden since 2009. But you know, since she has been laid up there in her room, the network has grown more than it has in its whole history. And I think that's really, it points to the fruitfulness of her contemplative vocation, her life of prayer, her life of offering the sufferings of her life. So God willing, she'll be 93 on April 20th, and she has tender loving care from the sisters and some other nurses who are retired, and even some active ones and doctors who come in to check on her and to help with her care. But she continues to pray and to offer and to make the network fruitful. And you were there, I think, Joe, that you were there in the early days shows us that she always thought the pro-life cause was something important. She wanted to have you on when it was just a garage studio. Started in a garage that got transferred into a studio, and those early days were very happy days, exciting days, but we also didn't know, will this enterprise continue forward? But obviously God wanted it, because now it's the largest religious media network in the world, reaching a potential audience of 265 million homes on television alone in 140 countries.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And it's on 24 hours a day now. I know when I was down there just recently, there were about six channels that were just EWTN.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually looking for the news, and I kept getting EWTN going around the clock.
Yes, in our guest houses, you would have seen probably a lot of our different signals. I think we have something like 11 television signals. So we send a separate feed to Canada. We have Spanish 24 hours a day. We have German 24 hours a day. We send a separate signal to Africa, a different signal to the Philippines and the Pacific Rim. And then a new enterprise that we started a few years ago is to get local people translating into the local languages. So we actually have the Oblates of Mary Immaculate in the Ukraine who translate our programming into Ukrainian and rebroadcast it locally. And then they have their own local mass that they insert as well. And that's happening in Slovakia, in Czech, in Hungary, and some other countries as well.
And you have studios also in Washington, D.C., and Orange County, California.
Yeah.
Did you do, I understand, Scalia funeral?
Yes.
Was that done by EWTN?
There was a lot of positive response to that.
Beautiful.
So we have a beautiful association with a basilica there in Washington, D.C., where the funeral was, and television cameras are permanently installed there. So we have a number of events there, and one of the things was the Scalia funeral. But we started the Knights of Columbus, saw the need for a nightly news program from a Catholic perspective. And so they helped us to build this studio in Washington, D.C., that now we have a nightly news program Monday through Friday, as well as Raymond Arroyo's magazine show. It's also where we have the headquarters for the National Catholic Register, our newspaper, as well as Asi Prensa, which is our Spanish news, Catholic news, and then we have Italian news as well there. So we have a studio and a little chapel there dedicated to Our Lady of Guadalupe, who is a patroness of the new evangelization in Washington, D.C. And then also another group helped us to fund a new studio in Orange, California. You may have heard that the Crystal Cathedral is now going to be the Cathedral of Orange, California. And in some of their office space, benefactor helped us to build a studio there so we can do more programming from the West Coast and in a particular way for our Hispanic viewers.
What a tremendous vision.
Yes.
Mother must have had. She comes from very sort of poor beginnings. Mm-hmm. Could you give us a little background? I know Raymond Arroyo wrote her book some
yes.
time ago, which had a very interesting title, which I think is something like A Nun, Her Nerves, and A Network of Miracles.
Yes.
Which is an interesting title.
It is. Yes, she grew up in a family of divorce when she was a little girl. She said she grew up on the wrong side of the tracks, so it wasn't the best part of town. Her mother and her shared a piece of bologna for supper sometimes. And yet I think that's why she could connect with people so well, even through the television, because she understood their suffering. She had compassion. She knew what it was to be on hard times, to have that pain of divorce and so on. In fact, there's a story. There was a woman. I had the televised mass one morning, and this woman from Texas wanted to talk to me after the mass. And she told me that she had just herself gone through a painful divorce, and she was just weeping inconsolably in her house. And all of a sudden, the television just turned on its own. And there was Mother Angelica talking about growing up in her own family of divorce and the pain of that. And this woman was so consoled that God intervened in this way to speak through EWTN and through Mother's words to give her consolation even in her tears. So Mother had the difficult upbringing. She also had chronic pain. She had constant pain in her back. She had asthma. That was a struggle for her. And yet, she said that suffering was what helped her as a companion to realize her dependence on God. It always kept her dependent on God, relying on God for the strength to do the work. So that's a remarkable story.
What a way to look at suffering.
Yes, yeah. Right.
Instead of a curse, it was actually a means of grace. And,
right.
And communion with God. That's mm-hmm. beautiful. You know, when I first met her down there, and she was just so cordial. Mm-hmm. It was just like your sister or something. Look, we've got this whole group of people. I'm doing all the time. Tom, just come on. Yeah. Let's pitch in. Pick Father's brain.
Well, Father, I might be jumping ahead, but I was wondering, I see what she's created, and I know one of our patron saints, St. Maximilian Kolbe, said only love creates. But I see the threats today, and I was wondering if you could fill us in with the HHS mandate.
Mm-hmm.
But I know we're going to go to a break, so that might be a subject for after the break. But I think maybe you could talk to us a little bit about the litigation that EWTN has filed.
Sure, I'd be happy to.
And what your position has mm-hmm. been.
Sure, be happy.
All right, we'll go to a quick break here, since it's mandatory. You're listening to Father Joseph Mary Wolf, a Franciscan missionary to the Eternal Word. And I'm Joe Scheidler, your host. This is WSFI FM Catholic Radio, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Hello, my name is Lynn Mills, and I'm from Pro-Life Detroit of the Greater Detroit area in Michigan. And Catholic Radio is important because they keep us informed on the relevant things going on today. In fact, Catholic Radio should be renamed Pro-Life Radio because they do so much for the movement.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community. We only can do that with your financial support. Take a moment now to donate online at WSFIradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. That's WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
Are you retired or near retirement? Do you want to keep a larger amount of your assets in a safe place with guaranteed interest rates to protect yourself from a huge market swing? Are you amazed at how low the interest rates are at your bank? If you said yes to any or all of those questions, you may want to call me, Matt Tomlinson, at Catholic Financial Life to discuss our guaranteed fixed rate annuities. Call 847-548-MATT, 847-548-6288. Products not available in all states.
Hi, this is Wes Riccio from the Holy Family Catholic Bookstore. If you have a child, grandchild, or godchild being baptized, receiving their first Holy Communion, or being confirmed, remember that Holy Family has the area's largest selection of gifts, accessories, and supplies to make their special day more memorable. For baptism, we have cradle medals, baby Bibles, wall crosses, and nightlights. We have beautiful baptismal gowns and accessories, as well as invitations and cards. If you have a First Holy Communion in your family, we have a wide variety of mass books and gift sets, rosaries and medals. We have exquisite veils for the girls and ties for the boys, along with all of the necessary party supplies. Our suggestions for new confirmants include personal-sized Bibles, prayer books, and other spiritual readings that can follow them through their lifetime. And don't forget the godparents and sponsors. We have gifts and cards for them as well. The Holy Family Catholic Bookstore is at 9249 Old Green Bay Road, Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. More information is available on Facebook.
This is Joe Scheidler back with Pro-Life Today. Our guest today is Father Joseph Mary Wolf. And Father, we were going to go into the HHS mandate, Health and Human Services. Would you give us some background of that and then tell us where it stands today?
Certainly. Yes, about a year ago, the federal court in Atlanta heard EWTN's case And just recently they came out with a ruling, unfortunately, against EWTN. It was a split decision, 2-1. But they did say that we would not be subject to the fines, which are horrific fines, debilitating fines, really, until the Supreme Court makes their decision in the Little Sisters of the Poor case. So with the death of Justice Scalia, that causes us some anxiety as well, because as I understand it, I'm not a legal expert, but that if there's a tied vote in the Supreme Court, which is possible, that it falls back to the ruling of the federal court. I would ask your listeners to pray for the success of EWTN's case, the Little Sisters of the Poor, many other cases, and especially for the Beckett Fund. They are the lawyers, the legal advisors that we have in these cases who have done an outstanding job. They were involved in the Hobby Lobby case, and as you know, they won their case in the Supreme Court, so they're very competent lawyers, legals, and just to support them, support their work. Keep us in your prayers, because this radio station is an affiliate of EWTN and depends on a lot of our programming as well.
Father, for our listeners who do not haven't been keeping up, Health and Human Services Mandate, HHS, What does it actually mean? Why is this dangerous thing that we're fighting?
Basically, the government is trying to coerce us and other organizations into providing abortifacients, contraceptions, things that are against our Catholic faith. And for us as a Catholic entity teaching the Catholic faith, nothing could be more contradictory than that we have to provide things that are morally objectionable to us when we're teaching the opposite. So it's basically a coercion of the government. Now, they say that there's an accommodation. Basically, it's a backdoor way where we're still having to really provide these things, but it's more in a backdoor way. Like Mother Angelica, she gave up selling peanuts because they wanted a kickback, and she said, I'm not going to lose my soul over a kickback. And right. So it's kind of a similar thing where the same outcome is happening, and yet we're supposed to be okay with it because we're not as directly involved.
Father, does it remind you of the biblical passage with the poor that they were trying to get? Was it Maccabees when they were trying to get the elderly gentleman? Isn't it the same situation? Maybe you could just share with the listeners the scriptural basis when they said, well, just pretend you're eating the pork. And he said, no, he'd rather die with honor.
Yeah, and the mother of those seven sons who underwent torture and death rather than to deny their faith, which they were not to eat pork, that's something objectionable to the Jewish faith, that they remained steadfast, and she told them to trust in the promises of the life to come. It's a similar thing that if you asked and you're trying to coerce a Jewish delicatessen that you have to sell pork to make pork available because some of your constituents might want pork. Well, this is a similar thing, but even on a higher level, because you're talking about human life, that the government is trying to coerce us into providing things that are morally objectionable.
Mother Angelica herself was very pro-life. This was one of her causes,
yes.
The unborn. And I know when I was invited down there, that's what we talked about and what we were doing to try to stop abortion. But the government has us, our taxes, almost everybody is somehow involved in abortion, no matter what we do. There's a portion of our material wealth that goes into supporting abortion. This is something that just is rancorous. And so it's good to have somebody like Mother Angelica who is telling the story. Give us some background on what you know of Mother Angelica's pro-life position.
Yes, as you know, Joe, you were on in the early days, the very early days, so obviously she contacted you to be on the program because it was an important issue that she wanted to raise awareness of.
Right.
And over the years, we've had series with the Priest for Life, has had an ongoing series about the pro-life issues that are relevant for today. We cover the March for Life in Washington, D.C., and that actually has had a very positive effect in spawning other pro-life walks and marches throughout the world. In the United States, here in Chicago, you have a march in Rome, in Paris, in Canada. We also cover that march that happens in May. So, and you see these, the numbers are always increasing, these groups and marches, and they're predominantly made up of young people. So it shows you where the future lies, is with these young people. They realize that they themselves could have been the victim of abortion. They are the survivors of this generation that's lost like something like a third of the members of this generation. And I think that's one of the reasons it's an important issue for young people. So mothers tried to raise that awareness. It was always important for her. And with these programs that we have, we always try to keep that message forefront, because I think one of the ways that we can especially confront this is with the truth. I always say that truth is buoyant. You can push it under the surface, but it keeps coming back up, because truth is truth. You can't unknow the truth. And once you're confronted with the truth, just like a number of these with the 40 days of life that we're for prayer for life that we're talking about, a number of people in the abortion industry who are involved in it have transferred to the other side, like Abby Johnson, because they were confronted with the truth of what they were doing and they saw the wrongfulness of it.
Right, they say the truth will out.
Yeah.
It always does. It comes to the surface. I was giving a talk one time in South Bend, Indiana, and at the end of my talk, a young man came up to me and he said, "Can I have my picture taken with you?" And I said, "Yeah, sure, why not?" I said, "Well, why do you want your picture taken with me?" He said, "Because you were my worst enemy. I had cut out your picture from a magazine and made circles and I threw darts at it." And I said, "Well, I never felt them." But anyway, I said, "Well, what's your story?" And he said, "Well, I was coming down here to South Bend to guard the abortion clinic because I knew you guys would be out there. And I was going to guard it, and I got picked up by these three men. They were ministers coming here to give pro-life talks. By the time I got here, I was pro-life."
Wow.
They had converted him. But he said, "I want to tell you something you may not think a lot about." But he said, "I was a Satanist, and abortion was a natural for me because we would offer the baby as a sacrifice to Satan."
That's horrible.
And this was horrible. And I said, "Was that common?" He said, "You'd be surprised how much Satanism is in the abortion society." Mm. And because this was not for me. I'm getting it from the horse's mouth. And so, but there must be that satanic kind of atmosphere in an abortion clinic, mm-hmm. where they are killing. And that would drive people out. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have left the abortion industry, Abby Johnson and others who actually were running, but they saw the evil. And that was the truth. They had to then go the other way. And there are so many. It's just that we ought to just write a list of people in the pro-life movement who were former abortionists.
Mm-hmm.
All seen that, but this was a telling story to me of Satanism, not just a business, but a cult.
Well, there was a guest. I don't know if you know him, Father Zachary King. He was a former Satanist who's converted with the help of the Divine Mercy Order in Stockbridge, the Mick Order. But that's what he did. He said that in the United States of America, people don't realize that, but you can do, it's legal to do anything right up until the ninth month in the human womb. So that their object was not to give birth, because then it would be illegal. So he mentioned Halloween was the day that he mentioned that they would have their Satanists. It was human sacrifice to Satan, and they would impregnate women for the purposes of offering those children to Satan.
This young man told me later, he said, "Think of it this way. Why are we so angry when you're outside the abortion clinic?" He said, "It would be as though we were outside your church, and we won't let you in to Mass." Now, I thought that was an interesting comparison. Keeping us from Mass, keeping them from offering human sacrifice. Strange in our day and age. But this is part of the evil in our society. And then our government gets in and they decide we have to pay for this. What an atrocity.
It is, but the truth, as we've been saying, is buoyant, and we're on the side of truth. Abraham Lincoln was asked one time, do you think God is on your side? And he said, the question is, am I on God's side? Right. that's the question. If we're on God's side, then ultimately that is going to win out. And the struggle is part of how we prove our love for God, our love for others, and that every day we can make some contribution to a culture of life and a civilization of love. Every day we can make some contribution. And in this Jubilee Year of Mercy, that's what Pope Francis is inviting us all to do, to in whatever way we can, to make other people's lives better, happier, safer, especially for our children.
Well, Father Joseph Mary, I want to thank you so much for being on the program today. And I just am so excited about your work and work that Mother Angelica started. And we'll say a prayer for her. She's 93 yes. years old, come April 20th.
Right.
We just love her. A frank woman. She's been a tremendous light in our dark society.
Yes. Father, we ask you to bless all the listeners of this program. We ask you to bless Mother Angelica, and we thank you for her witness and her faith. That inspires us to have courage, too, and to trust always in your providence. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
So that's all the time we have for today. Thanks again to my guest, Father Joseph Mary Wolfe. Join us next week on Pro-Life Today. Till then, all of us at WSFI send our regards. It's Catholic Radio. I'm Joe Scheidler. Thanks for listening.
This has been an episode of Pro-Life Today on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. For more information about this or any program, visit WSFIradio.org.
Listen at 7 o'clock p.m. every Tuesday to WSFI Spotlight, a half-hour conversation with outstanding Catholics from our community and around the world. WSFI Spotlight re-airs on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. or listen on demand anytime by subscribing to our podcast. Visit WSFIradio.org for more information. It's WSFI Spotlight, a conversation with Catholics living in the light, only on WSFI Catholic Radio Tuesdays at 7 o'clock p.m.
This is Father Joseph Mary Wolfe from EWTN. Catholic radio is important because you reach people where they are. Often people may be traveling in their cars, they may be at home doing other things, and they can still be growing in their faith. They could be participating in prayers. That we have all of these stories of people who were touched by what they heard on the network. They came into the Catholic faith, and many other stories of how people's lives were changed for the better through Catholic radio.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community. We only can do that with your financial support. Take a moment now to donate online at WSFIradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois, 60048. That's WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois, 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated. Did you know that you can listen to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio from anywhere in the world? Our live internet stream is available at WSFIradio.org. Just click on Listen Live. We also stream on the TuneIn mobile app for your smartphone or tablet. For iPhone and iPad users, visit the App Store, download the TuneIn app, sign up for a free account, and then search for WSFI. Click Follow to add us to your profile. For Android users, visit the Google Play Store, download the TuneIn app, sign up for a free account, and then search for WSFI. Click Follow to add us to your profile. Need help? Call us at 224-206-8455. That's 224-206-8455.
Looking at term life insurance? Consider life insurance from Catholic Financial Life and see how we put Catholic values in action. To learn more, call Matt Tomlinson at 847-548-MATT, 847-548-6288.